There is a song that we sing sometimes in our worship services. It's entitled, What God Hath Promised. It was written by Annie Johnson Flint back in 1919. The words of that song are particularly appropriate to our subject this morning. It says, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. It is true that God never said it would be easy. Struggles come into our lives frequently. Sometimes it almost seems like those struggles come and move in to stay. Right now, for all of us, things are far from normal. Our church family has lost a dear sister to a battle with cancer. A lot of folks among us are facing the loss of their jobs. Livelihoods are in jeopardy. Some folks are even, people that we know are even struggling for life itself with catastrophic health problems. On and on we could go because the list of difficulties in our lives is particularly long. And we're reminded again of what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16. In this world you will have tribulations. Verse 33. God has not promised that life would be easy. But he did promise comfort as we face the difficulties of life. Our lesson this morning takes us to the passage that Tom read just a few minutes ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we've borrowed our title for our study from that text, The God of All Comfort. You know, it's about 31 times in all that the New Testament uses some form of the word comfort. In that reading that Tom read to us a few minutes ago, we find it 10 times in 5 verses. I believe that's significant. Where could we find a better place to go than that text to consider God's comfort? Whenever we think about anything that God does, particularly anything that God does for us, the first thing that we generally want to know is, how does he do that? How does God comfort us? What are the ways? What are the means? How does God comfort his people? Well, this morning I've come prepared to answer that very question with at least 4 things that I'd like to call our attention to from the pages of Scripture. When we ask the question, how does God comfort his people? First of all, I would suggest to you that God comforts his people with his presence. Now, that does not mean that we will be able to see him or that he'll softly whisper words of comfort in our ears. But when we're hurting, God is close by. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the psalmist says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." Now, that's not just a statement that talks about who it is God saves and who it is God helps, but it is the assurance that whenever his people are suffering, God is near. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, "Lo, I'm with you always." From that promise, we understand that this isn't just that he shows up an hour or two or a day or two after we start having trouble. It means that whatever causes our distress, the Lord was there with us when it happened, when it started happening. You know, that's not the way we are. When we're called in to help somebody or called in to take some action, what's the first thing we ask someone to do? We want someone to bring us up to speed. Let us know, where are we right now? What are we doing? What's happened so far? Jesus never has to be brought up to speed. He already knows what's happened so far, because he was there with us when it happened. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we find that same promise again. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Never, for you and I, is a term that we sometimes misuse because we often put limits on it. I would never do that. Until something happens or circumstances are just right, and then I might do it. When God says, "I will never leave thee," never means never. It's not a human never. It's God's never. The greater point in this is that God's people are never alone, no matter what happens. We live with God's watchful eye looking out for us. His ears are listening for our cry so that he can attend to our difficulties. We are always in his presence. Whether it's in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, whether it's in the face of personal tragedy, the loss of a loved one, the destruction of things that we consider to be important and crucial to the maintaining of our lives here in an orderly way, whatever the situation is, God is with us. And he comforts us with his presence. Number two, I would suggest to you that God comforts us with his providence. Now maybe we ought to stop for just a second and get a good understanding of what we're talking about when we use that word providence. You know, the Bible only contains that word one time. You think, that's such an important word in the life of a Christian. Surely it's scattered all throughout Scripture. No, it's only used one time, and there it's used to ascribe credit to an earthly ruler. In Acts chapter 24, we find Paul appearing before Felix for the purpose of basically going on trial. And the prosecutor is there, a Jewish lawyer by the name of Tertullus. And he begins his opening arguments with a statement much like is common today in a trial. Tertullus, in his opening remarks, thanks Felix for his generosity in taking care of the Jews. He says, "By your providence, reforms are being carried out for this nation." You know, it doesn't have to be scattered all throughout Scripture to be a true thing. But God's providence is His supply, His provision. And without using the word providence, the Bible does tell us over and over and over again that God supplies what we need, that God provides for whatever the situation calls for. When we speak of the providence of God, we're talking about the way that He provides for us, particularly in the ordering and unfolding of the events in and around our lives so that we are benefited, even sometimes by things that do not appear to be good or helpful or especially pleasant that we're confronted with from time to time. The promise of God's word is that He can take those even unpleasant, painful, sorrowful things and bring about that which is best for His people. God's providence is illustrated very effectively in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament with the story of Joseph. We find it again in the book of Esther. In the New Testament, perhaps the passage we go to most often to think about God's providence is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to His purpose. One of the ways that God comforts us is through His providence, His supply, His provision for our lives. It's not that God is just simply vaguely aware of what may be going on in my life. I have the assurance that He is always working in my life to help me with those things that trouble me. He does not simply hear the cry of the righteous, but through His providence, He helps them. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 says that the Lord is our helper. That word helper means literally our fellow laborer. The Lord is working with us, joining in with us to assist in facing and dealing with those things around us. It doesn't take a very long attention span at all to be able to count up a fairly long list of things that are really troubling us today. And yet to know that God, through His providence, is providing for His people in ways that will help us to be better when all of this difficulty passes, and incidentally, at a time when fresh difficulties will normally step in to take their place. Now, a lot of folks have doubted God's providence and the reality of it because it does not involve the working of obvious miracles before our lives. And so they say, well, you know, if you say that God isn't working miracles that we can see, then that must mean that God isn't doing anything. I would suggest that God's ability to provide for us through the natural order rather than by altering the natural order of life is even more complementary to His wisdom and power. to understand by faith that God blesses His people in special ways even through the events that may sometimes bring on difficulty and grief. Isaiah said in chapter 41 of his book and verse 10, quoting from God, Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." His presence, His providence. Number three, God comforts us through His power. Good friends, loving family members, Christian brothers and sisters, they're all wonderful, especially in times of grief and hardship. And that perhaps is one of the things that we find so challenging right now, as we are instructed to stay apart. But you know, there are times when words and deeds and even the presence of caring friends and loving brothers and sisters stop short of being everything that we need. Now, that's not to belittle the efforts of loving friends and caring family members, but there is a more far-reaching source. God is not just another friend who wants to help. He is the all-powerful creator of this universe. As such, He is not just willing, but He's also able to deal with any challenge or trouble that we're facing. And so the question for each of us then becomes, what problem do you think you have that is too big for God? In Genesis chapter 18, when God told Abraham that he and his wife would have a son in their old age, it was unthinkable. It was unnatural. It was just not the kind of thing that was regarded as possible for two people of their age to conceive and bear a son. In fact, the Bible even describes how Sarah laughed at the very idea when she heard it. Back there in Genesis chapter 18, do you remember what God's reply was in verse 14? God said, "Is anything too hard for me?" You know, I suppose we need that reminder from time to time. The psalmist says in Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6, "I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" It's only normal that often we make our own problems bigger than they really are by seeing them only through the perspective of what we ourselves and by ourselves can do to resolve them. The COVID-19 coronavirus turning into a pretty big problem. It's done things to us, to our daily lives, to our economy, to our world that have not been done before. The loss of jobs, the disruption of our church family, at least from the standpoint of the disruption of our services together in a physical way. Maybe we need a new perspective. These are not battles that we should be fighting alone. We need to seek the help of God with the confidence that He is able and willing to help us overcome these things. There is not a promise here or anywhere that God will, as it were, snap his fingers and make everything go away. But there is the promise that he will, by our side, step by step, piece by piece, help us to make it through. There's our new perspective. There's our comfort. God's power. And there's one other thing that we need to look at, and that is the fact that God comforts us with his people. Now, with that previous point that we just looked at, I didn't want to give you the impression that we can't do anything for one another. The fact is, God uses us to help one another. We are his tools to help each other. That's exactly the point in that passage that Tom read to us a few minutes ago. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted from God. God gives us what we need so that we can in turn share it with those around us. Remember what Paul said to Philemon in verse 7 of that little letter? He said, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." When's the last time you worked very hard at trying to refresh the hearts of the saints? On a more personal level, a lot of us have experienced it, though we may not have considered the fact that God was at work. Say, for instance, when that little crowd of folks gathered with you in the waiting room while your loved one had surgery. Or when that friend came over and helped you go through mom's things after she passed away. When those brothers and sisters stood in line here in the front of the auditorium after services to have an opportunity to speak words of encouragement and comfort to you after you had confessed some personal failure. A very important aspect of the comfort that we can give each other is the fact that each of us is uniquely able to offer comfort and encouragement to others based on our own personal experiences. We're not all the same. We haven't all been run through the same ringer in life. We've experienced different things. And some of us have some experience in some things that those who've never experienced those things couldn't dream of what it's like. And therefore, some of us are uniquely qualified to speak to certain specific issues in the lives of our brothers and sisters because we've gone through the same thing. For the person who's always been wise in money management and never had any debt to speak of cannot understand the despair of someone who's facing bankruptcy. Or a person who has four thriving and healthy children doesn't always understand what it's like not to be able to conceive. Someone who's married to Mr. Wonderful can't begin to understand what it's like to be married to an abusive spouse. We need to call upon our own experiences and help and comfort those around us who are going through the same kind of things. We need to open our eyes to the opportunities around us to comfort one another with the comfort that we have received from God. And we must never shut one another out. God uses His presence. He uses His providence. He uses His power. He uses His people to comfort us. And by the way, that's not an exhaustive list. There are so many other things that God uses. In many ways, right now, our lives are filled with turmoil. Social distancing, stay-at-home order. It's all probably really tougher than it sounds, and maybe tougher than we thought it would ever be, because it's new to all of us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. In a time when God's people were looking at some really, really, really hard things, God said this: comfort, oh, comfort my people, says the Lord your God. The underlying fact beneath all of this is the fact that God wants the very best for His people. The challenge in all of this is that even in times of difficulty and hardship, God expects us to continue to give our best to Him. If you're not a child of God, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by doing exactly what the New Testament commands, believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, being buried with Him in baptism to have your sins washed away. If you haven't done that, you need to do that as quickly as possible. If perhaps you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, perhaps you see the need now to do a better job of serving God. The song that we're about to sing is for the purpose of reminding us of how important it is to follow Jesus with the very best that we have. To those who are assembled here in this building with me, the invitation is extended to you. To those of you who are at home, separated by the distance, but with us through the internet, we stand ready to assist in any way that we possibly can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.